podcast family. On May the 19th, 2023, just last year, the FDA cleared a novel biomarker serum test for risk stratification for severe preeclampsia in those women who already have the diagnosis of hypertensive disorder of pregnancy. This clearance was the first given to any blood-based biomarker test for assessing preeclampsia risk. The company was Thermo Fisher, and we covered this back on May the 23rd, 2023. So you got to go back and listen to that episode. The way that it relates to today's episode is because today, which is on April the 3rd, 2024, ACOG has released a new clinical practice update. Now, a clinical practice update or a practice advisory is a modification of something that's already out from ACOG to give more information when some new data arises or new questions start or remain. So this clinical practice update is called Biomarker Prediction of Preeclampsia with Severe Features. Again, this was out April 3rd, 2024. And that's what we're going to focus on today. So we're going to merge what we talked about in May of 2023 and update with what came out today, April 3rd, 2024, which puts that thermo test into perspective. In other words, what do we do with this? So let's talk about this new practice, clinical practice update from ACOG right now. Just trying to keep everyone up to date on evidence-based practice because medicine moves real fast. This is Clinical Pearls.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, everyone. So you all know that we've talked about biomarkers a lot on this podcast, specifically regarding preeclampsia. And there's a variety of different biomarkers that are out there, okay? But the ones that get most of the attention, because they should, really, they have a lot of data behind them, are two. So the first is placenta growth factor, that's PLGF, and then soluble FMS-like tyrosine kinase 1. So that's little s FLT-1. Okay, I know you've seen this in print because those are, again, they're the most popular, and the reason that they're the most popular is because a lot of the data has focused on those two, and it's not just them as an independent test, it's a specific ratio. So to put this into perspective, the placental growth factor, think about that, that's the good guy. Right? That's the one that helps with modulation of placental blood flow and helps recruit the vascular system and capacitance for the blood vessels around the developing placenta. All right. So placental growth factor is a good guy. Then comes the bad guy. Okay, the villain is soluble FMS-like tyrosine kinase 1, which antagonizes the blood vessel formation, and it promotes endothelial dysfunction, all right? So that's the bad one. Boo, right? So nobody wants that one. So placental growth factor is the good one. The specific ratio here that we're talking about has that SFLT1 on top and then placental growth factor on the bottom. When that ratio is big, okay, so when the good guy is winning, because the good guy is on the top, that's the numerator, and the denominator is the good guy. When that number is large, when the larger that number, the take-home message is the higher the risk that a patient who already has a diagnosis, so that's the first clinical pearl, already has a diagnosis of hypertensive disorders trimesters of pregnancy, when that ratio is above a certain cutoff, which according to the study was above the number of 40, then that patient is at high risk of developing severe preeclampsia within the ensuing 10 to 14 days. Okay, so that was out of the PRECIS study. I don't want to go through all of this, the biochemistry of it and how these biomarkers came about, because I covered that May the 23rd, 2023. So again, you got to go through the archive if you're interested and look at that. I want to focus on this episode on ACOG's new clinical practice update. All right. So remember, there's practice advisories, which are quick messages from the college like, hey, let's probably stop doing progesterone, right? Or, oh my goodness, hey, let's start using XYZ medication. Those are practice advisories. And then we have clinical practice updates. This is what this is, okay? A clinical practice update builds on something already in circulation, like we said in the intro. And in this case, it's building on practice bulletin number 222. That's the one that covers gestational hypertension and preeclampsia from 2020. Guys, I told you medicine moves fast. Now, you can look at that like, dude, 2020, it's 2024, bro. I mean, it's 4 years. Is that fast? Kind of. I mean, this one doesn't seem that fast, but it actually kind of is when you consider that the medicine as a culture is that Titanic, and to turn that sucker around is like, I'm coming. I'm turning. Do you see me? It's turning slowly. 5 degrees. 6 degrees. I mean, it's a slow turn. And so here to go, hey, in 4 years, we have a new practice update to Practice Bulletin 222 from 2020, and now in April 2024, I don't know, I think it's pretty impressive. I think it's pretty fast. And this is a direct response to that approval, which was on May the 18th, 2023, by the FDA to put this test now open for business. Right. But there is a catch. I mean, you can't just order this test. I mean, the lab that you are using or you're contracted with has to use this specific analyzer, which is called the Brahms Cryptor Immunoassay System. Right. That's by Thermo Scientific, not a sponsor. OK, so Thermo Scientific, the Brahms Cryptor Immunoassay platform is how this test is run, because it has that proprietary algorithm. I covered all of this a year ago. So if you're like, Brahms, what is that? Thermo? I've never heard of that. It's because you're not listening to my show. You got to go back. Go back to May the 23rd, and then you'll figure that out. Short of it is, this is now the response from the college to that and what to do with it. Okay, so let's just make it easy. All right, so I've got a patient who's admitted to the hospital, and she's got hypertensive disorder of pregnancy. So she already has HDP, hypertensive disorder of pregnancy. Now, the question is, if I get this test, what do I do with that? What do I do with a positive or a negative test? And can I just say this right now, guys? I'm going to say it with all humility. Trust me. We asked these questions in our May 23rd, 2023 podcast, because when we covered this, the FDA approval for this, I raised these same questions, which were, so now what? I mean, fantastic. We have a new test. Woohoo. All right. This test shows that the cutoff value, which is over 40, 40, shows that you're at high risk of getting preeclampsia. Awesome. What do I do with that now? I mean, it's not like, oh, if they get this test and the result is over 40, then you need the anti-serum, anti-preeclampsia medication, which will help reverse it. Well, we don't have that. See, so that was one of my dilemmas when we covered this 1 year ago, May 2023, which was, wait, what do I do with this? It's good to know. It's super good for education and for prognostication. But what do we do with this? So just to be very clear, again, this is not a practice advisory. It is a clinical practice update. So I want to make sure that we get that. An advisory is typically something that dramatically changes practice. A clinical practice update is just basically information for knowledge, for awareness. So I want to make sure that I said that, because I think I was so excited in the intro. Did I call it an advisory? No, I think I called it a clinical practice update. Anywho's, guys, the struggle with ADHD is real. All right. So anyway, so this is not a practice advisory, but a clinical practice update. So no matter where you live, no matter if you're in Canada, if you are in the UK, this is a great perspective of what to do when we get a test and it comes out either positive or negative. Okay, so just to be clear, as we just talked about, the ratio is when the bad guy is on top, the good guy is on the bottom, and that ratio is a number 4-0 or higher based on the original trial, which was the PREESIS trial. That stood for preeclampsia, risk assessment, evaluation of cutoffs to improve stratification. Ooh, nice. So PREECIS. PREESIS, okay? The PREESIS trial. And that's what eventually got Thermo's their FDA approval. But the number was 40. So if it's 40, it's a positive fine. You're like, oh, ding, ding, ding. Hey, you're at risk. And if it's negative, means you're, well, not at risk, or at least very low risk, because it doesn't mean it's zero. The risk is about 5% or less that the patient will progress to severe preeclampsia within the ensuing about 14 days, okay? But here's the question that ACOG had. Now, before I enter this, let me just stop for a minute. We covered this and the same kind of debate as I just mentioned a year ago, okay? Almost exactly to the day a year ago, because it's April right now, 2024, and we did that end of May 2023. And here's the issue. One of the concerns that initially should come to mind when you think about this is, are people going to be using this off its original indication, which is just risk stratification for patients who already have a diagnosis of hypertensive disorder in pregnancy who are hospitalized, all right? So that's the catch. This was, the study included hospitalized patients with hypertensive disorder of pregnancy only between 23 and 35 weeks. That's it. And so that was the main study pool. Patients who were under the age of 18, those who had multifetal gestation, and those who had heparin were excluded because that can affect biomarker sensitivity. All right. So here was the concern that we raised about this. Are people going to use this off its original indication as a prognostic tool to say, well, I don't know, you know, my partner admitted you for hypertensive disorder pregnancy, or you had some severe pressures, but you're non-proteinuric, so you are in the old classification, gestational hypertension with severe pressures, which now ACOG recognizes, of course, as just call them preeclampsia with severe features. You've got severe pressures, whether you're proteinuric or not. ACOG says you need to treat them as preeclampsia with severe. Okay, and that was out of that same practice bulletin number 222. I may read that statement in a minute because it confuses people. Do we call it gestational hypertension with severe features, or are they just preeclampsia with severe? The answer is, look, you call it whatever you want to, just treat them like if they are preeclampsia with severe features, because high blood pressure is a first marker, and then it can follow, and what can follow is end organ changes, all right? So they are synonymous, no matter what kind of term you want to use, but ACOG does recognize gestational hypertension with severe blood pressure alone as basically those patients are preeclampsia with severe features. All right, so the question was, are people going to use this to say, I don't know, you know, my partner Bob, I do not have a partner Bob, my partner Bob admitted you, yeah, I don't know, your pressures are not that bad, you had some high pressures, we put you on meds, are better now, and your ratio here is under 40, so I've ruled you out. Okay, do y'all get that? Because that is exactly how this should not be used. This is not to confirm a diagnosis of hypertensive disorder pregnancy or to rule it out. Guys, this is not its job. And this is why ACOG released this new clinical practice update, just as a quick referee to go, if you're going to use it, it is for prognostication, maybe keep patients in-house, see them more frequently if you're going to discharge them, saying, look, you're kind of brewing something here. We may not last that long. I'm not saying to give them steroids. I'm saying you'd give them steroids when they declare themselves, because we know how that turned out, this whole steroid issue. So it's be on the alert. My answer is I'm going to be on the alert anyway. I'm going to watch them super close no matter what. But this test does give some reassurance that if it's under 40, their chance of progression in the next 2 weeks is less than 5. And if it's greater than 40, it means that they're at some risk, all right? The sensitivity based on the PREESIS study of this ratio finding patients who will decompensate, the sensitivity was 94%. It's pretty darn good. Specificity was 75%. But remember, it has to do with positive and negative predictive value. The positive predictive value was 65%. It's not terrible, But remember, 50% is like, nah. So it's the if it's positive, the chance that you really are going to decompensate, 65%. So it has a huge net, right? Big net. That's sensitivity to capture everybody, 94%. But then the positive predictive value is 65%. I'm not saying it's terrible, but okay. I would have loved it to be, of course, 90%. The negative predictive value is much better. That is 96. So just like FFN, and I think I talked about this. This sounds familiar. I think I talked about this last year. Just like FFN or Amnisure, where the value really is in the negative predictive value. If it's positive, you're like, well, shit, I kind of thought you were going to decompensate anyway, because that's what women with hypertensive disorders of pregnancy can do. So no brainer there. The value, where I think this comes in, is the reassurance if it's negative, okay? Because a negative predictive value of 96% is we shouldn't take the foot off the brake. We shouldn't say, I'm going to cancel all my surveillances for you. No, we're still going to do the exact same thing, but it is reassuring. All right. And so this is what ACOG is focusing on. And the question is, what do we do? This is the whole thing that this practice update has to do with. What do we do with a positive or negative ratio? And how does that affect my patient care? I'm going to tell you when we come back. Thank you for being part of our podcast family. We really are grateful and thankful that you've chosen to take this journey of medical education with us. You're listening to Clinical Pearls. Well, I have to be honest, this is not what I was going to talk about today. I really wanted to do my safety pin and wearing red underwear on Monday, April the 8th for the eclipse. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I posted a little video on Insta about the safety pin over your pants. Big deal. That's a big deal in the Hispanic population and actually in some Nigerian circles, some Nigerian cultures, where that wards off basically the evil demons of radiation and protects the child against certain kinds of birth defects and genetic abnormalities. So I thought, man, that's a great, just kind of a fun podcast. I may still do that. I was going to do that today, but then this thing came out and I'm like, damn it, this is much more clinically useful than my safety pin and wearing red underwear for the eclipse. I don't know. It's such a fun topic. Just today, I was in clinic, and I saw one of our fantastic staff who keeps us tidy and it keeps our workspaces just spick and span. I saw one of our great coworkers from environmental services, and I said, "Hey, where's your safety pin for the eclipse?" This was in Spanish, and she said, "Oh, I got it ready, and I got my red clothes too." And I said, oh my gosh, you went there. You actually kicked it up a notch. You went beyond the safety pin and took it up to the red. And we both laughed a little bit. She said, you know, that's real. I said, oh, no, it's not, sister. No, it's not. So we had this great discussion, all, you know, in fun. And of course, we're not, you know, mocking anybody's culture. She's Hispanic. I'm part Hispanic. But I was like, oh my goodness. So that's, you know, you wear that so you prevent the ojo. Now, I'm not going to even translate that. No, hell I will. If you all don't understand the ojo, that's the evil eye. I mean, my goodness, you piss somebody off. You got to be careful. You got to go wash yourself off to get off their ojo, or else you're going to get sick. Man, I'm telling you, such great stuff in the Hispanic culture that is just kind of whack and fascinating at the same time. Y'all, I grew up with this stuff. I mean, this was deep. I mean, my aunts would tell me, like, I said, hey, I got into a verbal argument, whatever. I started fighting with somebody else in my class, and I told them X, Y, and Z. They said, and then quickly they take out a leaf and start rubbing it all over my face, and they're like, oh, yeah, got to get the ojo off of you. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, I thought that was a real legit thing until, like, high school. Okay. I have deviated once again. What am I doing? Oh, okay. So let's just do this. Sorry, guys. Anyway, maybe tomorrow I'll do the safety pin and wearing red underwear to protect your gonads and your child from the solar evil eclipse. I don't know. Something else will probably kick me off my agenda. So back to what I was talking about. So anyway, on April the 3rd, 2024, ACOG's new clinical practice update titled Biomarker Prediction of Preeclampsia with Severe Features. Here it is. In a nutshell, this test is ancillary. Bing, bing, bing. I mean, hello. That's it. We all can go home now. Do y'all get that? It's ancillary. It's supplemental. It is extra. Okay, it's a bonus. The core of how we diagnose hypertensive disorders of pregnancy and then meeting the severe criteria, that's legit. That's not going away. And this ratio does not replace that. Quote, this ratio alone should not replace current clinical criteria for diagnosing or excluding a diagnosis of preeclampsia with severe features. If this ratio is used for hospitalized patients who are admitted between 23 and 35 weeks with hypertensive disorders, the test is a complementary risk stratification that adds to the diagnostic workup of preeclampsia with severe features. End quote. Stop there. Which adds to. So it doesn't replace. It's not like, hey, do we stop getting our CMP and our renal function and just get this test? Because if you thought they're hypertensive disorder and you thought they were severe because their pressure is 180 over 100, but then this ratio is negative, you're like, she's ruled out. No, homie, it does not rule it out. That's not its job. Remember, positive and negative predictive values. That's why you've got to understand the data. Don't let somebody pull you in the wrong direction. Let's not get burned by a good test. This is a good test. This test has value, but it's more risk prognostication. That's all it's meant to do, okay? As ACOG's new clinical practice guidance states, quote, a positive ratio of 40 or higher is not diagnostic of preeclampsia with severe features. And conversely, although a negative ratio of less than 40 is reassuring and suggests that the likelihood of developing preeclampsia with severe features within 2 weeks is less than 5%, a value lower than 40, meaning if it's negative, can miss cases of preeclampsia with severe features and continued closed maternal and fetal surveillance is warranted, end quote. Why is that? Because it's just a test. It's ancillary. Think about it, guys, like amnesure, all right? If you see fluid coming out of the cervix when she coughs with your sterile spec exam, and you go, I don't know, man, I mean, it's clear fluid coming out, but her amnesure is negative, I don't care what the test says. there's test error, there's maybe it was miscollected. If you see it, still gold standard for ruptured membranes is physical exam. Amnesure, ROM plus are good. They are ancillary. I don't know if that example is good or not, but you get what I'm saying. Same thing with this test. This test is good, but it is ancillary. So we are not replacing the criteria, the regular diagnoses of hypertensive disorders and severe features. And the practice update closes it up with this, quote, this ratio should not be used for patients who did not meet the inclusion criteria of the PRECIS trial. In other words, avoid testing this in asymptomatic patients because, you know, her mom had it, her sister had it. I mean, surely she's about to get it, right? So let's check it out now. No, don't do that. It's only for those with hypertensive disorders in pregnancy who you were concerned enough to put into the hospital. So to be clear, not in asymptomatic, not in in outpatient patients, and it's not in less than 23 or more than 35 weeks. That is all. Our job is now done. All right. So this is the clinical. I'm getting weirder. Have y'all noticed that? What is happening? I don't. Did y'all get that or is it just me? Mike told me the other day, dude, what is wrong with you? I said, well, how long do you have? Because this could take a while. I don't know. Am I getting weirder? Y'all tell me. Send me a message. Just don't hurt my feelings because I'm very sensitive sometimes. So this is basically it. Clinical practice update, biomarker prediction of preeclampsia with severe features out today, April the 3rd, 2024. Oh, wait. One thing I forgot. I said I was going to read from the practice bulletin number 222 about severe blood pressures with gestational hypertension, right? That's the one that can get us in trouble because their labs are normal. They're not proteinuric. So they're gestational, but then their blood pressure shoot up. Remember that ACOG says those are called, just by blood pressure alone, those are preeclampsia with severe features. So let me read you this quote because it gets confusing, okay? Quote, women with gestational hypertension with severe range blood pressures, that's a systolic of 160 or a diastolic of 110, should be diagnosed with preeclampsia with severe features, end quote. Well, that was that. I mean, there's not much to it, just exactly what I said. We had this discussion with our team just last week. Hey, Dr. Chapa, we have a lady. I'm confused. Is she gestational with severe features, or is she severe preeclampsia? I mean, preeclampsia with severe features. And the answer is, yeah, fine, whatever. I mean, we're saying the same thing. The point is, she is sick, all right? But by true definition, that converts over. Even though she's non-proteinuric, she is now preeclampsia with severe features by blood pressure alone. All right, podcast family, I hope you found this helpful. DJ Mike, take it home. All right, podcast family, that brings us to a wrap. As always, we're thankful for you, and we're glad you're part of our podcast community. We'll see you on another episode of Clinical Pearls.